Well, on Tuesday, my baby boy, my son, he turns 15. Yeah, we celebrate that. How about that? Nice. So that means another Myers kid is going to be on the road pretty soon. And that's a big deal because now the questions between him and I are about to change. Because for the first 14 years of life, those questions have been easy. Like, what's for dinner? Are we there yet? Why does Mamaw's house smell so funny? I don't know. They're simple. They're easy. But now, these questions, they're going to start to matter. He's going to start asking me questions about driving. He's going to ask me questions about working. At some point, there are going to be questions about dating. And how I answer these questions as his dad matters, because what I'm about to tell my boy, it can't just be what I think is good. It's got to be what I know is true. Because he is asking me things, and he is about to walk through some things that I have lived through. And so today, I want to just ask you one question. The entire point of this entire message today is to ask you one question. And it is not a question that has something to do with what you just know. It's not a question about what you just believe in. It's not a question about any of those things. Today, the question I want to ask you is about something you actually have lived through. And so we find the question in a letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and here's what it says. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel in which you stand. The gospel. It's the good news. Now, listen, we throw this word around a lot in church circles, but what does it actually mean? What is this thing? From Genesis all the way to Revelation, this right here, this is the incredible story of redemption. And in chapter 1, we discover a God who lacks nothing but decides to create us and invite us into this absolutely beautiful relationship. And in God, we know that we lack nothing. We need nothing. And what do we do with this beautiful freedom that the God of the universe has granted me and granted you? Well, we choose ourselves. We choose us. We choose us over God. And that decision that has been on repeat over and over again since Genesis chapter 3, that has shattered us, devastating our life. I believe what's true is that anything in my life and anything in your life that is causing stress, pain, or strife is a result of us or somebody else choosing themselves or us choosing ourselves over God. That's the source of the pain. That's the source of the stress. And we call that sin. Sin is where you or I, we place ourselves in a position of power over God. And the reality is that choice, that one decision, it does not just create strife and stress and pain, but ultimately, and this is what's most important, that decision alone, it creates distance between us and this incredible God. Now, it's not just a physical distance. You got to get this, because that's what happened when in the garden, in chapter 3, when man chooses themselves over God, just like we will choose ourselves over God, it creates a physical distance. But the reality and the real serious issue here is it creates an eternal distance, that one day, you and I, we're going to breathe our last breath. If there is anything I've learned on 41 years on this earth, there are two things that are undefeated: gravity and death. All right? And the older you get, the more those two things feel a little bit more real, right? And so every single one of us, we're going to breathe our last breath. We're going to step into eternity. And here's the truth this morning. Eternity without God, it's beyond devastating. There's not even a word that could articulate what that looks like, eternity without God. And so the power of the gospel, this incredible text, this story of redemption, is that God, in his mercy and his grace, he sent his son, Jesus, to bridge the distance between us and God. And he did that by crushing him on a cross. That God chose to crush his son on a cross so that he could bring us back to him. That is the power of the gospel. Jesus, he would say it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That this is the gospel, that friend, you and I, that we are redeemed and we are restored through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. And so I want to continue Paul's thought in 1 Corinthians when he's asking the church, don't forget the gospel in which you stand. Don't forget this gospel. He goes on to say in verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance. Now, Paul's a smart guy. He's seen some things. He's been some places. So when a guy like Paul says, of all the things you could know, this is the most important, the first of importance. He says, here's what's first importance. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. I'm going to stop there. I love this. Paul's giving historical proof that the resurrection of Christ, it is not a fairy tale, it is fact. As he's writing this letter to the church, he's saying, these people, they're real, they exist, they're out there. You can find them and you can ask them and they'll tell you, we saw him die and we saw him raised from the grave. But Paul makes it even more personal. In verse 8, Paul says, last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Paul says, I didn't deserve to see him. He says, I sought to destroy all the things that Jesus looked to build. And he found me. And in his grace and his mercy, in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Hey, that's a sermon that could preach itself today, is it not? By the grace, how many of that's your testimony? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. So what our guy Paul is trying to say is this, is that the good news of the gospel is that you don't have to spend your life proving that you're good. So here's the question this morning. Are you standing in it? Are you standing in it? Like, I believe that there are some things in life that we believe are good and true. But this morning, I'm not interested in simply what you just believe in. Because I think we got to be careful, because there is a kind of belief that makes us feel better, but it doesn't actually change us. And so I want to prove that to you, because I think we can all agree on this. I think that we would all agree that physical health matters, right? I don't think we're going to disagree that what you drink, what you eat, how you move, that matters with your physical health. I think we're all going to agree on that. We believe that to be true. I think we believe to be true today that mental health matters, that what we consume with our eyes, what we consume with our ears, who you allow into your circle to influence you, that matters on your mental health. I think we would all agree that financial health matters, the way you spend your money, the way you save, the way you invest, that matters. I know we would agree that family health matters, that the way we interact with the people in our life that we call family, the way we interact with the people in our home, how we love them, treat them, invest in their lives, I think we would believe that those things matter. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'm crazy this morning. I think if I went out on the streets today and I went to the local restaurants and I talked to people and I said, do you think these things would be true? I don't think anybody's going to look at me like I'm crazy. Yes, I believe those are true things, but here's the problem. Despite that you're probably going to find someone on every street in America believe that to be true, we live in a country that leads the world in obesity rates, consumer debt, and divorce percentage. See, we believe these things to be good and true, but there is a big difference, and you got to get this, there is a big difference between believing and standing. Listen, you can believe all the veggies and all the yoga you want is going to make you healthier, but until you put the broccoli in your mouth and until you stretch, it's not going to click. And this is true for so many areas of our life. And the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because if we're not careful, this idea, I can simply just have a kind of belief about something that makes me feel better. But if I don't actually stand in it, it doesn't change me. If we're not careful, this kind of belief will leak into our faith. And this is happening every Sunday in churches across America. It's happening today. In this room and in other places in our city and places in our state, is that if we're not careful, this moment right now that we're in, this gathering of the church, this thing that God has called us to not forsake, to see each other, to encourage each other, to be in a room, to worship together. This, we're in unity, standing here and believing that what God has for us is best. If we're not careful, this moment, well, this moment can simply become what we do, but not who we are. And we got to be real careful because Sunday mornings can get thrown in that kitchen drawer with everything else during the week. Sunday mornings can be kind of like Monday night ball practice, Tuesday dance rehearsal, Thursday date night, Friday night football games, and the Saturday morning Walmart pickup. It's just on the schedule. It's just what we do. And I've done this too long to know that there is a way to live your life that the idea, not the practice, but the idea of following Jesus, trusting his word, seeking him in prayer, sharing your faith, the idea that makes you feel really good. It's a great thought. And I can internalize that, and I can meditate on that, and that idea makes me feel good, and I might just start tomorrow. But for many of us, the truth is it doesn't actually change us because it doesn't make it out of the parking lot. And so today, my desire is not to motivate you because I'm pretty good at motivating you into the parking lot. But then once you get in your car, gone. I'm not trying to motivate you to anything today. What I'm trying to do today is invite you into something better, into something that might actually change you. And so what does it mean to stand in the gospel? So Paul, in Romans 8, he starts to unpack this idea for us. In Romans 8, here's what Paul says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So, verse 6, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and leads to peace. Now, there's this phrase, and I think you picked up on it, that Paul is highlighting. He says what? To set your mind. To set your mind. Now, every day you are consciously and subconsciously setting your mind on something. And I Googled it, and the internet never lies. And so it says that the average person has over 60,000 thoughts a day. It's the internet. It doesn't lie. So that's what it said. The average person has over 60,000 thoughts a day. And what Paul is pleading with you, and what he's pleading with me, is that some of those thoughts, maybe all those thoughts, could be set on Jesus. That you and I, we would leverage our life. We would leverage our life so that we can stand in the gospel. Because what has your mind has your heart. And what has your heart, well, that has your life. So Paul says, set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on the Spirit. So when you look through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, what you're going to find is at least 50 to 60 very, very clear verses that emphasize setting your mind on God's word. Now, there's a bunch more scriptures out of that kind of hint in it and edge into the waters of it. But we know there's at least 50 to 60 very clear verses commanding us to set our hearts and our minds on the word of God. A matter of fact, in Psalm 119, the entire psalm, it is a love letter to God's word. Almost 176 of the verses in Psalm 19 reference God's statutes, his laws, his precepts, or commands. I just want to give you one. Psalm 119, verse 15 says this: I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will fix my eyes on this. This is where I'm going to set my mind. And there's this word, it's meditate. Now, one of the definitions I've discovered about meditate that I really, really like is to actively pursue something with your mind. That's what meditation is. It's actively pursuing something with your mind. Now, you hear the word meditate and you think, that sounds like such a weird word. I don't think I'm a meditate kind of person. But listen, we're all meditators. We all meditate. It's actively pursuing something with your mind, right? Anybody stressed out this week about something? Right? Anything keep you up at night? Anything stick inside the back of your brain as you were driving to work or sitting at the dinner table and your spouse is like, hello, hello, are you there? Like, that's, you know what that is? That's called meditating. It's where we actively pursue something with our mind. And what the psalmist is saying is that if we're going to meditate, we should meditate on this. That we should make a decision, you and I, that in a world of uncertainty, because it is uncertain, this will be the one thing that I am certain of: the gospel. I will be certain of this, that I will lay before my life before this. I will plant my life into the gospel and the truth of Jesus. This is what I'm going to pursue. This is where I'm going to stand. So how do we do it? Because it sounds great, right? I got the microphone. I'm super excited about it, right? So it got to be careful because it can be a little motivating, right? But how do we actually practically do this? And so I want to do something. I want to show you the only thing I remember from middle school biology, all right? So I'm going to take a time out so I don't make a mess. All right, I'm going to show you the only thing I remember from middle school biology, all right? This is a concept, and it is called osmosis. Now, I'm going to give you the easy definition of osmosis here, all right? Because I was a history guy, not a science guy, all right? So I'm going to give you the easy definition, okay? Here it is. This is a sponge, all right? Now, the sponge has the ability to absorb. It's got a special skill. It can take things in. So when I take this sponge and I place it in this bucket of water like this, what happens? I know you can't see this, but there's air bubbles going out, and the water that now is around the sponge has made its way into the sponge, all right? I mean, it's not rocket science, okay? But this is osmosis. All right? Whatever the sponge sits in, it becomes. Now listen, I know some of y'all are science people and you're like, well, actually, the definition would be, I don't care what the scientific definition is, okay? Don't take this from me, please, okay? This is osmosis. Whatever the sponge sits in, it becomes. So you're like, Adam, why the show? Because I think this is teaching us something about standing in God's word and standing in the gospel. Is that you and I, we become what we choose to stand in. We become what we stand in. And so the question today, it matters. The gospel, this incredible story of God's redemption over us, the gospel, the question today is not, do you know about it? That's not the question today. The question is not, do you know about it? The question is not, do you have kind of a belief in it? That's not the question today. The question today is around this idea of, have you lived it? Have you experienced it? Have you felt it? Are you standing in it? Are you standing in it? And so to Paul's point, right, what has your mind has your heart, what has your heart has your life. And so let's talk about where most of us are. Most of us, coming off what Paul's talking in Romans 8, most of us, we stand in self. That's not a shocker, okay? if no one has told you lovingly that you're selfish, all right? It's all right, but you're a little selfish, okay? Maybe a lot selfish, like we're selfish people. Most of us, that's where we sit. We sit in that, we stand in that. That's where we set our eyes, where we set our focus. Maybe a fancier way to say that would be anything outside of the gospel, okay? So we're gonna let this represent the gospel of Jesus, all right? Anything outside of this is not standing in the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did, but it's standing in self. If it's outside of Jesus, it's me, right? That's sin. That's the sin that fractures us. So anything outside the gospel is standing in self. And here's what I think to be true. I think a lot of us are really big fans of God. I think we like God a lot. I think we're big fans, big God guy. But you know what I really love? Man, I really love his stuff. Man, I love God's stuff. And if we're not careful, this thing called faith, it just becomes something we do. It's not what we stand in. What we really stand in, what we really believe in is us, ourselves. God's great, but man, I love his stuff. I love all the stuff that God blesses me with. I love food. I love clothes. I love my job. I love the tech. I love my car. I love vacations. I love my house. I love stuff. And believe it or not, it's possible that we can be a really big fan and we can really love, not even fan, we can love what God gives us, but we don't really care what God can do for us. I think what Paul's trying to do for the church, what Paul's trying to do for us, he's trying to set us free from that. Because it's exhausting. Because what happens when, and it will happen, what happens when the stuff you pursue overpromises and underdelivers? And it leaves you frustrated and broken. And no matter how much you try to put back in that bucket to fill the void, it's never enough. And what do you do when you realize the pursuit of created things has overshadowed your pursuit of the Creator? And that conviction, that fracturing, that just, ugh, you don't know what to do with that. You can believe in God, but get this, but not actually be changed by him. I wish I could do a deep dive into that this morning about simple belief, because I know you might be going, Adam, I don't know. I've been in a lot of church services. I don't know if that's true. And I wish I could tell you today that there's scripture that points to the fact that the demons believe in God. They respect him. They're scared of him. But they'll never be changed by his grace. So there is a way that you can believe in God and not actually be changed by him. And I think the one thing this morning and that we don't want to admit out loud is that some of us, all right, because we're selfish, some of us, we have built our life on some really broken things. We found value in them. We found identity in them. And in the end, it never really filled up the space, did it? I know this is true, and I'm not scared to sit on the stage and say I have done a lot of this, and if we had time and a cup of coffee, I could share my story. The truth is, you know it's true. You know it's true right now. And the way that I know it's true and the way that you know it's true, and I think this is going to be a really important part that's about to happen here, is that everyone gets squeezed. Everyone. Everybody gets squeezed. What does that mean, Adam? It means at some point, life is going to press into you, whether from the inside or from the outside. And when that happens, you get squeezed. And you want to know what happens when you get squeezed? I know I'm making a mess. It's just water. It's okay. I don't have to guess what's in you. I don't have to guess where you've been standing. I see it. Because it comes out. And that is a promise. you're going to get squeezed. Now, can we just be honest in the house today? Can we just have a little fun here for a second? Just breathe. Because I know some of y'all feeling it. You're feeling that love of God on you saying, hey, he's talking to you. All right, so let's just breathe a second. Like if you think, I don't know. I don't think I'm that bad. Like, let's just be real. Like, everybody's got that one word that slips out when you stub your toe. All right? You've got that look you give people, that tone of voice that you share when you're very frustrated. Maybe, I know it's not you, maybe there's that gesture that you give when you're cut off in traffic. I know that's not you, but there's people that do it. Like, we've been there, right? When life squeezes you and the ugly comes out. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of ugly come out on me. And when it happens, you know what I say? I mean, where did that come from? Why did that come out of my heart? Where did that come from? It came from, not a shocker, what I stand in. What I choose to put my life into. And so then what we do is we're like, well, let me just clean this up a little bit here. I don't want anybody to see any of that. I don't want people to know what's going on inside my heart. But here's the problem about getting squeezed. When you get squeezed, listen, y'all, everybody gets messy. It goes everywhere. And I think one of the most heartbreaking things I've experienced in ministry is there is this idea in some of us that we think the best way we can help the people in our life is not be honest about the stuff we're standing in. If I just keep it in, I'm going to protect the people in my family. I'm going to protect the people that I love. I don't have to be honest about what I'm struggling with. But friend, you're going to get squeezed. And when you do, it's going to go everywhere. And people are going to get messy. So, what if there could be a better way? What if we could change this narrative this morning as we start to wrap this up? So Paul goes on to say that those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on what? The things of God. He said, there's a different way that you can live your life. This doesn't have to be your story. This doesn't have to be your testimony. Where when you're squeezed and when you're poured out, that everything's a mess and it gets all over everybody and it creates stress and headaches and problems. And instead of dealing with it and being honest about it, we just clean it up. We wipe it up. We hope nobody saw it. And then we just hit that process over and over and over again. And what Paul is saying, there's a better way. He says, those who are of the Spirit, those who have tasted the gospel, who knows what it's like to be lost and for Jesus to find you in the dark space and says, come on, I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to clean you up. He says, we can set our eyes on the Spirit. And he says that when we do that, it leads to life and it leads to peace. When we set our minds on the Spirit, when we choose to stand in the gospel, what are we choosing to stand in this morning? What we're choosing to stand in is this truth, this reality that the God of the universe, Paul tells us that he is for us. Listen, y'all, God is for you. He loves you. He sent his son to redeem you. Jesus lived, he died, and he walked out of a tomb to rescue us. And if you read this truth, what you're going to find out is he's got some pretty incredible plans for your life. And you know what's great about the gospel? Is nothing in my life can change that truth. You know, I jokingly said earlier that gravity and death is undefeated, and it is. But death did lose one time. And we're going to celebrate that big time here next month. And that's when Jesus Christ kicked the end out of the tomb and he beat death. And because of that, because he is undefeated against death, he is undefeated against anything that death can bring into your life. So when Jesus says it, you can stand in it and trust it. And so because of that, you and I, we are never, ever going to get over needing Jesus. I need you to lean in for a second, friend. I need you to get this, right? Because I know some of y'all, it's like I got some type A's in the room, and I love hanging out with type A's. I'm not type A, so I love hanging out with type A's because they get a lot of stuff done, and I love it. I'm an idea man. I'm a thinker. I'm a dreamer. Type A's is like, is that practical? I have no clue. So I know some of y'all are like, I'm going to type A this thing. I'm going to give my life to Christ. He's going to clean me up, and I'm going to make a list and a chart, and I am going to work my way. You're not. And listen, on the other side, y'all, you dreamers, y'all know you're just a hot mess, okay? So y'all ain't gonna, come on. We're not figuring this out. But we do this weird thing, right? You get saved, you give your life to Jesus, come to church a couple times, read a couple Bible studies, and you're like, I think I got this. Thanks a lot, Jesus. See you at Christmas, right? I mean, it's just like, listen, we're never gonna get over needing him, ever. If today was a great day, friend, guess what? Tomorrow might not, but you're gonna need him. If today was the worst day of your life, I got hope and prayer that tomorrow could be better, but you're going to need him. You're going to need him every day, every season, every stage, when it's good, when it's bad. We are never, ever, ever going to get over needing Jesus in our life. And once we realize that truth, nothing matters but reorienting our life to stand in his gospel. And the proper response to the gospel, how we stand in it. All right, here it is. We're landing this plane. All right, we're landing this plane. Is we recognize that the only place to stand is in him. So when it comes to my family, my finances, my future, I will stand here. Paul would actually say, this is not where I'll just stand, but I'll press. I'll press. One of my favorite passages, Philippians 3. I just want to share you a couple words, and then we're gonna pray. What is more? I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I've lost all things so that I could get him. And I'd give it up again. There's nothing compared to having Jesus, nothing compared to having him and knowing him. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Oh, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I want to participate in his suffering. I want to become like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And I love this next line because Paul's hard to read, all right? He's crushing it. And in 365, 24/7, I feel crushed most days. But I love what Paul says here because it gives me hope. What's our guy say? He goes, not that I've already obtained all this. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I'm just telling you what I want, what I want to stand in, and what I want to be true of my life. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but what do? He says, I press. I press. I press hold. I press into Jesus. I say, this is what my life's going to be about. I'm going to stand in the gospel. I'm going to stand in his truth. Not what's happening around me. Not what other people are saying to me. Not what's on social media. Not what's on the news. But what's in the word. I want to stand in the gospel. I want to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Hey, listen. Listen. You are a mess. I'm a mess. We're all a mess. We're a mess. But you know what? We're his mess. We're his. We belong to Christ. Listen, y'all, we're just a bunch of sloppy fools, just splashing water everywhere. And we're not there yet. I know some of y'all, you're not there yet. Where you are right now in your life, you thought a year ago you'd be further, and you're not there. Okay. Some of you all, you're dealing with some generational sin that you thought was going to die with you, and now you're worried it's going to pass down to your kids. Some of y'all, just life's not clicking. The job's not working out. Stuff at home's not working. Like, you're just a just not there yet, and it's okay. It's okay to not be there yet. So you know what we do? I'm gonna press into Jesus with my family, with my future. I'm gonna press into him. Why? Because he pressed into me. He pressed into you, friend. So I'm gonna keep showing up. I'm gonna keep pressing into Jesus. And get this, he doesn't just clean me up, but the word says he makes me new, that he changes the desires of my heart when I press into him. Is that I become a new creation in Christ. What I used to think, I don't think anymore. What I used to do, I don't do anymore. How I used to live, I don't live like that anymore. My past, my shame, my pain, it's gone. Paul tells us in Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So as we wrap up, I would just ask you, don't stop pressing. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to get squeezed. You think just because you're on Team Jesus doesn't mean you get squeezed? No. Sometimes you get squeezed more. You will get squeezed, but guess what happens this time? Instead of the stress and the pain and the hurt, you know what pours out of my life? Grace, mercy, love, redemption. It pours over everybody in my life. Because you know the reality of what it means to follow Jesus? Is that you and I, we exist to be squeezed out. That's why we exist, to be squeezed out, so that the gospel of Jesus would splash on everybody I know. And then I pour back into him, and I let him squeeze me out, and I pour back in, and I let him squeeze me out. I don't stop pressing, I don't stop trusting, I don't stop standing. So as we close out this service, we're going to close out just a little different today. I'm just going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And are you standing in it, church? My encouragement today, as we get ready to walk out of this room, is to realize that you would realize that there is a God who loves you. And he's invited you into this gospel. And he wants you to stand in it. Will you press into the truth of God's love?